Morning, church. Happy New Year. So good to see all of you here today. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. If you want to grab the Bible that's right in front of you, you will find Matthew 28 at page 835 in that Bible. We'd love for you to open a copy of God's Word this morning. I can't think of a better way to start a new year of preaching than to encourage you to open God's Word, because this is what matters. It might be a new year, it might be a new decade, but it's still true that it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what the Bible says. And at First Baptist Church, God's Word is our authority. And we always like to start every year by focusing on our mission as a church. And so if you are new to our church, if you're a guest with us, this morning is a great opportunity to hear what we want to be all about as a church. And if you've been a part of our church for a while, mornings like today are essential for us as we seek to be unified in our priorities and our passions. If we're going to be successful as a church, as a gathering of believers, then we must be unified in our mission. And our mission at First Baptist Church, the reason we exist, is to make more and better followers of Jesus. We believe that Jesus is better than anyone and anything, and so we want everything we do to draw others to Him and to help us draw closer to Him. We want everything we do to draw others to Him and help us draw closer to Him. This is why we have ministries for adults. This is why we have ministries for students. This is why we have ministries for kids. This is why we have ministries into our community. This is why we support missionaries in the U.S. and around the world. In every area of our church, the mission is the same. We want to make more and better followers of Jesus. And we don't want that to be a mission that just a few church leaders work to accomplish. If you consider FBC home, we want you to view our collective mission as your mission. Because as my friend Tim Walker at Restored Church says, church is not an event you attend, it is a community you engage in. And we want you to be engaged in the mission of this community of believers. We want you to engage in making more and better followers of Jesus. Not because I said so, not because this was my idea, but because Jesus said so. Because this was His idea for His church. And so the first 4 weeks of this year, the 4 weeks in January, we are doing a series called Engage in the Mission. And our purpose for this series is that we would be devoted to what Jesus demands. That we as a church would be devoted to what Jesus demands. If we are followers of Jesus, then it only makes sense that we would value what He values, that we would prioritize what He prioritizes, that we would obey what He commands. We want to devote our lives to what He has demanded because we don't want to waste our time striving for anything less. There's so many ways that you can spend your time. There's so many options for what you can give your life to. But I believe with all my heart that there is no better life than one that is devoted to Jesus. And so that's what we're going to focus on in the month of January. This morning, we'll focus on the mission that Jesus has given us. And then the next 3 weeks, we'll look at three more specific ways that we can live that out. Through evangelism, through the giving of our time, talent, and treasure, and through prayer. But we begin today by looking at the very last command that Jesus gave His followers before He left earth. And it's right at the end of Matthew's gospel, the last five verses. So after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and He made several post-resurrection appearances to the disciples and His other followers. He wasn't continuously with them after His resurrection as He was before His death, but He made several of these post-resurrection appearances to prove the validity of His resurrection and also to give them, to give them instructions as to how they were to live in light of the fact that he had risen from the dead. And so this is the last appearance that Jesus makes to his followers. It's right before he ascends into heaven. This is the passage that's become known as the Great Commission. He's giving his marching orders to his followers. But it's more than that. This passage is more than that. It doesn't just contain a great commission. It also contains a great claim and a great comfort. And so that's going to be our outline today. It's not original to me, but I think it's most helpful. We're going to see the great claim, the great commission, and the great comfort. Look with me at Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. Matthew says this, "Now the 11 disciples," that's because the 12 disciples had lost Judas, so right now there are 11 of them. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." And just let me quickly mention that a lot of people try to figure out, what does that mean, that some doubted? And it doesn't make sense that at this point any of the 11 disciples would have doubted the resurrection of Jesus. Thomas was the last one to be convinced, and that had already taken place. It could be that Matthew is referring to others outside of the 11 who were also there, or it could be that Jesus was coming from a distance, and at first some of the disciples weren't sure that it was him, because remember, he wasn't continuously with him. And so those are the two options. It could have been other people that were also there, or it could have been that they just weren't sure that it was actually Jesus that was coming to them. We're not sure what that means. Verse 18, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" So this is the great claim, that all authority belongs to Jesus. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And everyone has to decide if they believe this claim is true. I would say you need to decide if you believe Jesus' words about himself here. Because if you believe that all authority belongs to Jesus, it changes everything. It changes everything. This fits so well with Matthew's gospel theme as a whole. Because the theme of Matthew's gospel is that Jesus is king. That's what he's been communicating to his readers, that Jesus is king, that he rules and reigns. Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, is all about living as citizens of the kingdom of Jesus. This is why Jesus came, to establish his reign in our hearts, and one day he will return to establish his reign in the new heaven and the new earth. And he will reign forever because Jesus is the one true king. But there's a problem with that. And it's that none of us deserve to be part of his kingdom. None of us are naturally born citizens of the kingdom of God. In fact, naturally, you and I are rebels. We were created by Jesus, and we were created for Jesus. We were created to follow him and worship him and live for him, but we all rebelled against his authority. We chose to live for ourselves. We chose to go our own way, and our sin separated us from the life-giving presence of God. So, here's the issue. If King Jesus had just come to earth the first time to assert his authority and establish his kingdom on earth, we would have all been left out of it. But King Jesus didn't come the first time to physically reign. He came to spiritually rescue. King Jesus left his throne in heaven to come on a rescue mission for sinners like you and me, to rescue us from the bondage of our sin. He lived the perfect life that you and I should have lived. He died the death that we deserve to die. He took the just punishment for the sins that we had committed against him on the cross. He died the death that we deserve to die, but he didn't stay dead. Jesus rose from the dead because King Jesus conquered sin and the grave. So if you place your faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, all of your sins are forgiven and you can become a citizen in the eternal kingdom of God where Jesus reigns and will reign forever because Jesus has triumphed over Satan. He has gone to battle with death and won. He has conquered sin. Therefore, Paul says in Philippians 2, God the Father has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King. He is in charge to the glory of God the Father, which is another way of saying what Jesus says right here. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. I think it was Piper who pointed out that God the Father can give Jesus all authority without God giving up authority because Jesus is God the Son. And think about that. If you want more evidence that Jesus claims to be God, here's another one right here in Matthew 28, 18. When he says, all authority has been given to me. It's God has given authority without giving up authority because Jesus is God. He is King. And I want us to recognize what this means for us as we seek to live for Jesus, as we try to become better followers of Jesus. As we become better followers of Jesus, we aren't giving Jesus more and more authority in our lives. We are simply acknowledging the authority he already has. See that? We're not giving him more and more authority. We are acknowledging the authority that he already has. We are choosing to stop competing with his authority. We're choosing to stop trying to take his position. We like to make believe that we are in control. We act as if we are in charge. So as we become better followers of Jesus, we are taking off our dress-up clothes where we pretend to be king. And we are embracing our position as servants of the one true King. That's what will happen as you become a better followers of Jesus, a better follower of Jesus. And if you have come to that place in your life where you acknowledge that Jesus has the ultimate authority, if you believe the claim that Jesus is making, where you don't just expect him to control everything else around you, but you embrace the control that he has of your life. Right? Because when you think about it, this is what everyone else wants from God. That they want God to control everything else, just don't control me, right? Make sure all my circumstances are good. Make sure nothing bad happens. Just don't try to control the decisions that I make or what I want to do. But if you see him as king, and yourself as his servant, then when he gives you a mission to complete, when he gives you a direction to follow, it matters. It matters. So I long for you to see Jesus' next words in that light. This is the King who is reigning now and will reign forever. The one with all authority in heaven and on earth. And he has given you, and he has given me, he has given us a mission to complete. Here it is, verse 19. Go therefore, key word, therefore. What's that therefore, therefore? Based on the fact that all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus, based on this great claim, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So here's the great commission. Go and make disciples of Jesus. This is why our mission as a church is to make more and better followers of Jesus. It's because Jesus told us to make it our mission. That's why. It's not because it sounds good or because we wanted something that's simple to say but really, really hard to carry out. Right? That's what this is, right? Think about it. One sentence spoken almost 2,000 years ago and we're still seeking to fulfill it today. Okay, that's what this is. One sentence that it takes forever to try to fulfill during our time on earth. And the reason this commission is the foundation for everything that we do is because it was given by our King, who we believe has all authority, which means he has authority over our church and he has authority over our lives. And from that position of authority, his last command to us was to make more followers of him. That's what a disciple is. It's someone who is following Jesus, who is moving towards Jesus. I like Andrew Peterson's definition of a discipleship. It's the title of his book. It's long obedience in the same direction, right? We're moving towards Jesus. We're to make more followers of him. And to teach them so they become better followers of him. Because if you are truly a disciple of someone, you will end up like them. So these are our marching orders. Go and make disciples of Jesus. Let me just point out a couple truths about this. This is a universal command, and it is a command to reach the whole world. Because Jesus' reign as king is not regional. It is universal. There is not a single ethnic group or culture or country or society where Jesus does not deserve to be worshipped as king. The good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and coming kingdom is for every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. It is not cultural. It is not political. Good thing for us to keep in mind during an election year, right, church? It is not political. It is not generational. And so the way we fulfill the Great Commission should be a reflection of that reality. We don't just want to reach one generation. We want to reach one generation after another. We don't want to just reach one ethnicity. We don't want to just reach one language. We're thankful for the Spanish ministry that meets here on Sunday afternoons. We don't want to just reach one community. We're thankful to support missionaries who take the same gospel to different nations and cultures and languages. This command is to go to everyone because Jesus is King over all. And this command is for you. Because if Jesus is your King, this command to make more followers of Jesus is a command to you. Because Christianity is not a call to spectate. It is a call to action. It is a call to go. There's a movement to this command. And so let me just ask you, do you view this as the purpose of your life? As you think through what you want to accomplish in 2020, is it based on the priority of fulfilling Jesus' mission for your life? I love it. Jesus hasn't left us to wonder what to do. Right? He didn't just say to his disciples, I'm king and I'll be back. Right? And then just leave them to wonder what they should do in the meantime. No, he gave us a mission. And so as you think about your job and your family and your hobbies and your social media accounts, is your goal and priority to make more and better followers of King Jesus? This is what I long for all of you this year, to engage in the mission. As the elders of the church think through what we do well and what we need to improve on as a church, we're thankful for all the opportunities that we have for people to learn God's Word. From Sunday school to the morning service to life groups to children's ministry to youth ministry to our young adults ministry, we are thankful for the repeated opportunities that we are able to offer for all age groups to learn from the most important book ever written. But we also recognize that discipleship isn't simply about learning. It's about learning that leads to action. So we can't just be content with knowing a lot about Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We actually need to do what he says. This is why we have a time at the end of each message for you to consider your response to God's word. Because we don't just want to be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. We don't just want to memorize, go and make disciples of all nations. Most of you have heard these verses before. We need to do it. We need to do it. We want to go from here and actually make more disciples. Even if you look at what Jesus says about teaching in the Great Commission, because he talks about teaching here in verse 20, and he doesn't say, teach them so they know a lot about me. Have you noticed that? He didn't say, teach them so they just know how awesome I am. That's not what he says. Knowledge is not the end goal of the teaching in the Great Commission. Obedience is the goal. Teach them to observe, to obey, to follow my commands, because information without application doesn't lead to transformation, and that's what we need. We need to change. We need to become more like him. And so I'll always remember when I was a youth pastor, I did this evangelism series I was pretty proud of, okay? And I taught students different methods that they could use to reach their friends with the gospel. And I was ready for them to share this with their friends at school. And I actually had them practice sharing the gospel with one another so that way they would be ready. And also because secretly some of them needed to be saved too, you know? So I thought that was a good opportunity for some of them to have the gospel shared with them. But also so that they would be ready to share the gospel with their friends. But while they were practicing sharing the gospel, I made the mistake of asking some of them if they were going to use this with some of their friends. Probably not, was the response that I was given. Nope, probably not. I was like, well, then what's the point? Right? What's the point? You practice something so that way you can use it, right? You practice so you can get better so that way you can use it. But I'm realizing that's what Christianity can so often look like for people, where we just learn a lot about Jesus, where we just learn how to do something without actually doing it, without actually changing, without it changing our hearts and our actions. And so this coming Saturday, Dan Nichols is going to be here to train us in how to more effectively reach those who are in our circle of influence with the gospel. And I'm excited about all of you who have signed up and are planning on coming, but hear me on this. If you aren't planning on using what you learn to reach people who don't know Jesus, don't come. Don't come. If this is just more information for you without any application, don't come. You don't need to spend 6 hours on a Saturday learning about sharing your faith if you aren't planning on sharing your faith with someone who needs Jesus. But if there are people in your life that you long to see to come to know Jesus as King, your hearts hurt. Your heart hurts because they don't have the hope and peace and forgiveness that you have been given, and you want to be the one to reach them. You want to see them come to know Jesus. Then Saturday is for you. And I cannot wait to see you there, because we have a great commission to fulfill, church. We have to engage in it. And when most people think about completing this great commission and sharing the gospel with others, they start to get nervous. We have all sorts of fears and anxieties that rise within us. And the command that Jesus has given us collectively is pretty overwhelming. And I'm thankful that Jesus didn't leave us with a command. He left us with the comfort that he would never leave us. I left off the last part of verse 20. Look at that again. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, look at this. Behold, look, I am with you always to the end of the age. We have the great claim, all authority has been given to Jesus, the great commission, go and make disciples of Jesus, and now the great comfort, Jesus is always with us. Now, think about this. This must have been pretty confusing to the disciples that Jesus said, I will always be with you. And then he left. Have you thought about that? He says, I am with you always. I'm out of here, right? That's exactly what happened. The ascension happens right after this. So how does that work? How does Jesus promise, I will be with you always, and then he leaves? How can this be? It was because Jesus was sending his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to indwell every believer. So when you place your faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, you are united with Christ through the Holy Spirit of God. So Paul says in Colossians 3:2 that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We have been brought out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We have been, as branches, have been joined to Christ who is the vine. Jesus is with us. And the more you believe Jesus' great claim that He has all authority, the more I believe you will see this as a great comfort, that He is always with us. I want you to see this as glorious this morning, that the King, with all authority, with all power, is with us. The one who simply spoke and made light and darkness and water and land appear. The one who healed lepers and gave sight to the blind and changed weather patterns and made the waves be still. The one who spoke and knocked over soldiers. The one who has power over every disease. The one who got out of his own grave is with us. When we go to bring more citizens into the kingdom, the King Himself is going with us. We don't have to tell people to come to a temple where God's presence is made known, because you are a temple of the living God. God's presence resides within you. It's always with us. How awesome is it? The one who is over us is also within us. The one with all authority, who will never leave us or forsake us, has commissioned us to go and make disciples. It's a new year. It's a new decade. But our mission is the same. We must make more and better followers of King Jesus. So the question I want you to respond to this morning is, how are you going to engage in the mission this year? The King with all authority has given you as His servant this direction. Go and make disciples. How are you going to engage in the mission this year? I don't want any of us to be devoted to anything less than what Jesus has demanded. So I'm going to pray for us and give you some time to answer that question as we prepare for communion this morning. King Jesus, we come to you today recognizing our flaws, recognizing our sin, but also hopefully recognizing your greatness. So thank you for making it possible for us as rebels to be part of your kingdom. And thank you for giving us the privilege of bringing others into your kingdom as well, so they can enjoy your life-giving presence. I pray that we would recognize your authority, not just over all the world, but over us. I pray that rather than trying to fight for control, that we would position ourselves under your control. And I pray that we would devote our lives to fulfilling the mission that you have given us, because we don't want to live for anything less. So thank you for what you have done. Thank you that you are always with us. And our ability to fulfill your command isn't based on us. It is based on you within us. Thank you for what you have done. May we be obedient to your calling. In Jesus' name I pray.